This is so fun. I cannot tell you what a joy it is to see your beautiful smiling faces here tonight. My name is Gigi Hornberger, and I am the Director of Women's Equipping here at Watermark. And it really, truly is such a joy to have all of you in this room. We've been busy planning and preparing, and it's just seemed kind of 2D, and to have it here and all the energy and all the sweet faces and friends meeting up again and new friends here is just, it's just a thrill. So thanks for trusting us with your time tonight. We look forward to just growing in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior with each one of you. So if you would, pray with me, and then we will hear from our fearless leader, Ann Halford. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Grateful that you're so good. And you are holy and majestic and all-powerful. And you know us so deeply. And you still love us. And you are in the business of rescuing us and redeeming us and revealing yourself to us. And we will see that in the book of Exodus, and we experience that in our own lives every day, Lord. You are so good to pursue us, and we're grateful. I pray for Anne as she teaches us and gives us just kind of an introduction tonight to the book of Exodus. I pray that every word from her mouth would be exactly what you would want us to hear. And I pray for the small groups. I pray that as each one of these ladies makes new friends, that they would just be great hosts and be warmly welcoming each other, and that each would feel warmly welcomed herself. So thank you in advance for the powerful work that you're going to do through the study of your word, through your people, and just your powerful Holy Spirit at work in us. Thank you, Lord, for just how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gigi. It's so awesome to be here. It's so great to just look out at all of you, and we've been anticipating this moment for a long time, and it's here. We're going to jump into Exodus this year, and it is going to be great. I know just from talking to a lot of people that there are a lot of people in this room that have never done a study of Exodus. So raise your hand if you've never actually studied Exodus before. So really, most of us. So if that's you, I hope you feel better already. But I want to tell you that no matter how you got here tonight, I was sitting at a table with someone who just saw the study in the Watermark News, and she's here. Or you may have had a friend that's been inviting you and you just ran out of excuses. You may have found us on the website, or you may just be new to Dallas and somebody told you about this and you're like, I want to get to know some women. You may be here because there is no good TV on Thursday night, or you may be here because you've been with us before and you're coming back just to hang out with some awesome women that you've met here in the past. So no matter how you got here, I want you to know that God has you sitting where you are tonight by no accident. He has got something that he wants to do in your life through being in this study. So when I talk to people about this study, which is like all the time, one thing I say a lot is that I love the women in this study because we are so diverse. So if you look around the room at the other women in the study, you'll see that we are very diverse in age. We're diverse in just our life stage. We have a lot of women that are single. We have women that are married. You may have divorce or widowhood in your story. We have women that have never opened a Bible before. So if that is you, know that you're not alone. We have women that have graduated from seminary. We have women that have no idea where the book of Exodus is. And I bet there are some of you that could give me an outline of Exodus right now. We have cat lovers. We have cat haters. We have women that are very quiet. We have women that are not quiet at all. We have women that go to Watermark. And we have a lot of women that don't go to Watermark. So we're a diverse group, and we love anybody that comes. So the thing that we do have in common, though, we all need Jesus. We all need to hear what God has to say to us in Exodus. And we all have messes in our lives. If you were perfect, if people in here had it all together, like, I wouldn't even want to know you. We wouldn't even want to know each other. So just feel comfortable that you are in good company with whatever mess or messes you have in your life. So I want to just kind of go over the format, like what you can expect when you come here. So first of all, if you look around, you go, well, we must have this thing about green. There are several of us in green t-shirts tonight. So if you have a question, if you don't know where to go, what your leader's name is, anything, just grab somebody that has a green t-shirt on and ask us, and we'll try to find out for you. Now, when you first come in, you want to make a name tag. So we're really big on name tags, and we have our new and hopefully improved name tag system this year. So we're at those little kiosks, so it'll like spit out a name tag for you. So if you'll kind of do that the first thing every time, that'll be really good. Like, no name tags to keep up with this year, which is great. But people want to call you by name, or if this is like the third week in a row you've met somebody and you can't think of their name, so that name tag, like, sneak a peek, and that eliminates a lot of awkwardness for you. So we love name tags. Also, we know that a lot of you come straight from work or straight from something crazy in your day. So food, that is really important. So there will always be some kind of snacky food at the table in the very back here. And we'll also have dinner, if you want that, every week. It'll be some kind of bag of something for $5. So again, we're trying to streamline. So this year, we're just going to have two things. It will either be Nukes or Chick-fil-A. So we're just going to alternate every time. So if we had Nukes tonight, what do you have next week? Chick-fil-A. So you'll always know what we're going to have, and you can plan on that. We're going to open the room, this room, at 6:30 every week. So if you want to just come from work or come be here early, kind of transition from your day, just feel free to do that. We'll kind of have food ready at that time so you can eat or talk or not talk or whatever you want to do. But come on at 6:30 if you want to. But we will officially start at 7 o'clock in this room every week. So what we do is very simple. The first part of the evening, we teach. So it'll either be me or Gigi Hornberger or Judy Wimberly or Nika Spaulding. Every week, we will talk about whatever chapters we had in Exodus that week. And so kind of the purpose of our teaching is we want God's Word to come alive for you. That's what we want. And we want to clarify anything that might have been confusing. And we want to help you see why God's Word in whatever chapters of Exodus matters in your life. So we're teaching. Then the second part of the evening, you'll be in your small group. So in your small group, you will process with other women, the women in your group, whatever you learned from Exodus that week. Now, you could do a Bible study all by yourself and get something out of it. But if you are in a study in a small group where you are processing God's Word with somebody else, like, it's going to be a lot richer. It's going to take on a lot more meaning. So I'm really excited for you to get to meet the women in your small group tonight. Know that your placement in whatever small group has been prayed about. So I'm excited for you to meet these women. Like, they're going to walk through this year with you. You're going to grow them and encourage them, and they're going to grow you and encourage you. So I bet that almost every week you're going to say about somebody, something somebody said in your group, like, I never thought of that before. I never saw it that way before. And somebody in your group from something you said might go, I never thought of that way before. So those small groups, so valuable. We love our small groups. If you have not been placed in a small group yet, we have a place for you. So when this time is over, I'll just listen and I'll tell you what to do next. Know that you and I have an enemy, and he does not want you to study the Word of God, and he does not want you to be here. And so I always say this because it's true. Like, if you're going to have a really, really rough day at work, it's going to be Thursday. You're going to want to go home with a pint of chocolate chip ice cream and go, it's Thursday. If you're going to have a fight with your boyfriend, it's going to be on Thursday. So just when that happens, just know, hey, it's Thursday. And so we hope you'll be here. I was just saying to somebody earlier, like, this is a great place to be when something terrible has happened in your life that day. A place just to be cared about and loved. So I want to shift the focus a little bit for the rest of our time tonight in this room. So who had a summer job in high school? Some of you. Well, when I was in high school, my parents thought, if you're in high school and it's summer, you should have a job. So I'm pretty sure none of my friends' parents felt that way. But at the time, my dad worked for a big oil company in Houston, so he got me a job in one of their offices. And y'all, I hated it. Like, my little selfish, immature, entitled, ungrateful self was like, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. Like, I want it out of there so bad. So I drive to work every day, and I'm thinking, my friends are all still asleep, and when they wake up, they're going to lay out by the pool, or they're at camp, or they're probably in Europe or something, and here I am, like, going to work, and I'm sitting in front of a computer all day, not meeting guys, no tan, and I'm like, it's me and a bunch of old ladies. And so I'm thinking back, probably those old ladies were like 25 years old, but like, I hated it. So my passive aggressive side kind of came out. So every few days on the way home from work, I would stop and buy a pair of shoes. So that summer, actually it was more than one summer I did that. Like, I probably hardly made any money, but I was legendary for my shoes. Have you ever been somewhere that you didn't want to be? Are you somewhere you don't want to be right now? So Exodus is a story about some people that were somewhere they didn't want to be. Actually, it's nothing like my little ungrateful, selfish high school self. Like, they were someplace that nobody would want to be. And it's a story of how they got out. Exodus means exit. That might be a little spoiler alert there. So Exodus is a historical story. You might read or hear some people that are like, oh, and these things in Exodus, they didn't really happen. Exodus is more of a metaphor of what God would do for us. Now, does it matter whether these things in Exodus really happened or not? Yes. If the Bible's just one big metaphor about what God could do for us, can it still give us truth about God? No. So the historical truth of the historical books of the Bible are essential. The Bible's not a history book. It is the Word of God, but it contains history. So in Exodus, we're going to see some dramatic, pretty crazy things. And so I want you to bear in mind when you start reading Exodus, this stuff really happened. You're going to be a lot more awed and amazed by your God if you think about that. This stuff really happened. And it made me think about a study that my kids were in when they were little, and they taught the Bible to little children. So I remember that every week the children's teacher would sit down with her Bible open in her lap, and she would say, absolutely true, absolutely true. Everything the Bible says is absolutely true. She said, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's from the Bible. This story is true. True means that it really happened. So bear that in mind when you start reading Exodus. Exodus is not like the Hunger Games or Lord of the Rings. Like, I would say every time you open up Exodus, think, absolutely true. Sweet thing that happened this afternoon, our little 2-year-old Hunter that's with us for a few days. I was reading him from, he got out a little children's Bible today, and I was going to open it to read, and before I even open it, he goes, absolutely true. Like, that is something I hope he has in his heart his whole life. But Exodus gives history. The Bible gives history from God's viewpoint. It doesn't tell, like, every single thing that happened in a certain time period. It tells the things that God thinks are important. History is his story. So we don't try to add God into our story. you know, not to say, you know, God's an important part of my story. No. We're part of God's story. So if you see it that way, you'll realize that your life, my life, really only makes sense in the context of God's story. So here's some things that the Bible says about itself. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, 3:16, sorry, I don't have that wrong. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It says all scripture, even Exodus, it is useful to you and it will equip you. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Bible, it's like the only book where the author is really with you when you read it. Have you ever read the Bible and been reading the Bible and you think, it's like this is talking to me? It's because it is. John 20:31 says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's really true of all of God's word. Like, that's the point. It is written that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you'll have life because of that. That's where all of this is going. Now, some of you are like, well, I kind of like Mark last year. Like, why don't we study something about Jesus? Guess what? Exodus is about Jesus too. So be looking for that as you go through Exodus. We're going to try to, in the curriculum, is going to try to point those things out as you come to things that really, really point to Jesus. So if you don't hear anything else I say all night, hear this. Be connected to God's word every day. Like, decide right now you're going to do that. In this day and age, it's kind of easy with it's on your phone, it's everywhere you look. Be connected to God's word. You won't be sorry. Like, I don't know about you, but I regret things I do all the time. Like, there are so many things every day that I wish I hadn't done. I was just thinking through yesterday, like, I wish I hadn't slept so late yesterday. I wish I hadn't been on social media so much. Like, why is it that if I have 15 extra seconds in my life, I'm like looking something to go, oh, this girl I haven't seen from high school, like, I know what she had for lunch today. Like, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I had not given my husband that look yesterday. Like, he was going to work. He walks out, these pants he had on, like, oh, like they had these like cargo things on them. I was like, I wish I hadn't done that. It's probably the only thing he had clean. I wish I had not eaten this little frozen bundt cake yesterday. Well, actually it was more than one. I gave the shower on Sunday and we had those little bundt cakes from that bundt cake place. Like, they are so good. So there were leftover ones. I'm like, I'm going to put them in the freezer so I won't eat them. And so, of course, then I'm like, huh, I wonder what those would taste like frozen. Like, they're very good. I was in the Word of God yesterday, and I'm not sorry that I was in the Word of God. So I hope you go home tonight excited to start reading in Exodus. So I wanted to open up to Exodus just to see what it's going to be. So here's how Exodus 1:1 starts. I have it written down. It says, I have the first verse up here for you. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi and Judah, Issachar. And you're like, ugh, isn't that what you're afraid of when you're like signed up for this Old Testament study? Like, the very first sentence, you're like, I have no idea what's going on. Like, who are these people? Why did they go to Egypt? And why would I even care? So you won't just close your Bible and quit. I want to talk about this for just a minute. Like, who are these people? Why did they go to Egypt? And why would I even care? So in the Hebrew, the original language that the Old Testament was written in, it actually starts off, "And these are the names of the sons of Israel." So, and there's that connector. And the connector is connecting what went before with what's coming after. So what comes immediately before the book of Exodus? The book of Genesis. Actually, you've got that slide up here. So if you don't even know, you know now. Exodus is like a continuation or a sequel to Genesis. So some of you are like, oh, and others are like, that doesn't even help. Okay, so to make sense of this, I want to go back into Genesis just a little bit to see who these people are and how they got there. So in the Bible, God says he wants us to know him. That's amazing. Like, he created us, so he knows us. He knows every single thing about us, and he still loves us, and he wants us to know him. He wants us to know what kind of God he is. So in Genesis, God wanted people to know who he is, to know him, to know what he's like. So what he did was he chose this 75-year-old childless man named Abraham. And Abraham would become a family who would become a nation, the nation of Israel. And God chose them, you've heard like chosen people, he chose them to be his messengers so that the world would know what he's like. And you may be thinking, well, I don't know if they've done such a good job of that. And that may even be the point. But if you go back into Genesis, in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, you see like God really chooses Abraham, and he goes to him, and he makes this covenant promise with Abraham, and he promises Abraham that he would have land, he would have descendants, he would have a lot of descendants, and he would bless him. Well, that sounds really great, doesn't it? So I've got a little org chart after this. So Abraham has a son named Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob is also known as Israel. So just to make it really confusing. So then Jacob has these 12 sons. So through a really dramatic providential story that I wish we had time for, one of the sons, Joseph, ends up going to Egypt. Well, in Egypt, he meets the Pharaoh of Egypt. And like he and Pharaoh, they're like this. So meanwhile, like back in the old hometown, the rest of the family is there. And they have a famine, like a shortage of food. So this family, this little seed of the nation of Israel, travels to Egypt to find food. So when they get there, like Pharaoh, the Pharaoh of Egypt, like welcomes them. He like gives them this place to live because, remember, like he and Joseph, they're like this. So that's how they end up in Egypt. So the who, the sons of Israel, are this family. They're the great-grandchildren of Abraham, the guy that God made that covenant promise to. So God's protecting this family. He's protecting the promise that he made to Abraham by preserving these people. So once they got into Egypt, like the people of Israel thrived. Like they did really, really well there. So think about it now. They're in Egypt. Were these people somewhere they shouldn't have been? No, God had led them there. So jump into Exodus 1 with that stuff in mind. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt. Hope that makes more sense now. So once they get there, they've been there a good while, things start to fall apart. So Exodus picks up with the old Pharaoh, the good Pharaoh, he dies. And later, quite a while later, this other Pharaoh, Pharaoh's a title rather than somebody's name, this other Pharaoh comes to power that is not inclined at all to be nice or gracious to these people of Israel. And in fact, he feels threatened because they grow and they've prospered so much, like they're kind of a force to be reckoned with. So he's trying to figure out what to do. So he decides to oppress them, to place them in submission and make them slaves so that they won't speak out, so that they will not become influential. So these people are in a terrible place. They are treated very harshly. They are brutally oppressed in Egypt. You're like, well, wait, I thought God promised Abraham that he was going to bless these people. Like, what happened? Do you feel that way sometimes? If you've been like, God, you led me here, and now it's falling apart. Like, do you remember? Do you care? One thing I didn't read you, back in Genesis 15, right after God had made this promise to Abraham, like literally right after, he says, this is verse 13. Then the Lord said to him, to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. They will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possession. So if you've studied Genesis before, do you even remember that? Probably not. But God had said that that would happen. It's like, yeah, I'm going to give you this stuff, but first, you'll be enslaved in this foreign country for 400 years. So we'll see in Exodus that God often has for us hard detours or things that look like detours as part of his plan for us, as part of the way we fit into his story. So don't we think, though, we assume that if we're doing something, if we're somewhere God wants us to be, that everything's going to go smoothly? Like, people say that all the time. They're like, well, I mean, I feel like God wants me to move, so I'm going to put my house on the market. And then, like, it sells the first day for more than the asking price. You're like, oh. And somebody's like, oh, I think God might want me to have a different job. So I'm just going to hold that open. And, you know, out of the blue, somebody called with this job offer, and it's way more money, and I just love it. And I'm probably kind of bitter about some of that. But we just, you know, people are like, you know, if I'm doing what God wants me to do, it just falls into place. And sometimes it does. I'm not saying it's not. But on the flip side of that, when things are hard, we start to think, I must not be where God wants me to be. Like, I must be in the wrong job. I must be living the wrong place. Like, I must have married the wrong guy. Or you might get in your small group tonight and go, I must be in the wrong small group. So we kind of assume when things are hard that we're like, oh, well, this is not what God wants for me. Because under that is this assumption that God wants things easy for us. That it's like all unicorns and Skittles if we're like where God wants us to be. And so we forget God's promise. He is faithful to his people. He is faithful to his promise. But his promise was never that everything was going to be easy. So when you're somewhere you don't want to be, and we're like, God, this is not part of the deal. Remember, he's like, no, 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 my child. He's like, I'm faithful to you. I'm faithful to my promise. I didn't promise it was going to be easy, but I promised I would be faithful. So the first part of Exodus takes place in Egypt. Now, Egypt is a culture with no regard for God. So remember that when you're reading about this. Like, they worship things, they just didn't worship God. And so the people of Israel were kind of a threat to them, so they tried to keep them in submission so that they would not speak out and have influence. Do you see that happening today? And this Pharaoh we're going to get to know. Like, this guy is cruel and ruthless. He is a baby killer. He is self-obsessed. You will see he didn't even care about his own people, much less the people of Israel. So remember that about him when you read Exodus. Like, this guy is a bad guy. But in Exodus, we will see God take him on. And he will take on those little g gods that those people worship. Keep that in mind as you read the book of Exodus. So, okay, Exodus, exit. You know they're going to get out. So how do they get out? God says, I haven't forgotten you. Like, it's time. So he comes to this man named Moses. He chooses Moses as the man he's going to use to rescue his people out of slavery in Egypt. This is not a perfect analogy, but maybe it'll help you kind of keep it straight. Like, you can think of Abraham as kind of like the George Washington of Israel. And then Moses is kind of like the Abraham Lincoln of Israel. So we get to know Moses in Exodus. You might have heard of Moses before. Exodus is not a seminar about how to model your life after Moses, though. What's great about Moses? Nothing. Like, Moses doesn't come to God. God comes to Moses. Moses can be fearful. He is insecure. He is hot-tempered. He's amazingly courageous. He's strong. He's trusting. He's inconsistent, just like us. So what makes Moses great is when God becomes great in Moses' life. We'll get to know Moses. We'll get to know Pharaoh. We'll get to know Egypt. But way more important than that, you and I are going to get to know this God who is faithful to his people and he's faithful to his promise. He's the God of the Word. Why do we know the Word of God? We know the Word of God to know the God of the Word. God wants you to know him. And I can't think of a better place than Exodus for you to get to know him. Like, our God is powerful. You're going to watch him get some things done. That's what I want you to remember after you finish Exodus. This God, he's faithful to his people. He's faithful to his promise. He's faithful to you. He looks at you and he says, I haven't forgotten. I'm coming for you. He says to you, like, you belong to me. I want you to be with me, and I want you to know me. God rescues people that are in bondage. We're going to watch God do an amazing rescue this year. Is there an area of your life where you're in bondage, where you're stuck and you can't get yourself out? Is it fear or insecurity or shopping, food, an eating disorder, regret over your abortion? Is it something that you've done or something that's been done to you? You may be saying, wait, I am begging God to rescue me. Are you kidding? Exodus is going to give you hope in this God that's going to go to great lengths for you. He's faithful to his people, faithful to his promise. He's faithful to you. What's your Egypt? I heard somebody say that Scripture is like an ocean. You can play in the shallow end or you can go deep. Now, in Exodus, we're going to look at some of the most dramatic stories of all time. Like, we're going to see next week a little baby in a basket in a river. We're going to see a burning bush. We're going to see Pharaoh. We're going to hear Moses say, let my people go. We're going to see, learn about Passover, what that is and what it means to us. We're going to look at the plagues, like the Nile River turned to blood. Kind of keep going, absolutely true when you see that. The frogs, the flies, the gnats, the parting of the Red Sea. We're going to see the manna, all those things. Now, you may have heard of some of those things before. But when you study it in this context of this story of Exodus, I promise you, it's going to mean more to you, and you're going to see, it's going to make sense to you in a way it hasn't before. And if you're sitting there thinking, I've never heard of any of this stuff before, we're so glad you're with us. Like, dive into the deep end with us. Get ready to process these things with other women that are going to help you see why this matters. They're going to challenge you. They're going to encourage you. Now, earlier in the summer, our older daughter and son-in-law moved to Northern California, and they took their three little girls with them. So a few weeks ago, we went to California to visit them for the first time, and one of the things we did while we were there was to go to their neighborhood pool. So it was like a big pool, like an Olympic big pool, and it had sort of like a deep end with diving boards and stuff you can jump off and stuff. So, of course, the girls, like, that's what they want to do the whole time. So I go down to the deep end so I can cheer them on and be there in case they need anything. So it's just like over and over and over. I'm like, great, cannonball, like, do it again. And so that went on for a long time. And so I look up at this clock that's up there, and I realized I had been treading water for 45 minutes. I hadn't even thought about it. I was like, whoa. And, you know, I'm like, well, I've been swimming this summer. Like, instead of running, every day for 30 minutes, I swim. Try to do it every day. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I mean, I swim some. And so, you know, I'm patting myself on the back. But I'm really not in that great of shape. What I remembered was that this pool was a saltwater pool. And so there was something in the water that was like holding me up, that was enabling me to do something that I can't do. Now, that's what the Word of God is like, to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Because when you do that, God is there. He can lift you up, and He can enable you to do things that you can't do. That's my prayer for you, that you will immerse yourself in the Word of God. You will never be sorry. I'm going to pray for you, for me too, that we'll be in the Word of God every day before we get on social media. That when you have your finger there to click on whatever is your favorite thing, that God will go, hey, maybe spend time with me today. Because if you're in God's Word daily, God will change you. He'll change your relationships. Like, you'll treat people differently. It'll guide you as you make decisions. It'll help you not to be so insecure. It'll help you know what to do with your selfishness and your failures. Like, God will be there with you. It'll help you see yourself, your life, the world from a bigger perspective and from the perspective that is true. It'll remind you of your identity. Who you are is who Jesus says you are, period. It'll remind you of your future that's certain and secure. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with God, I encourage you to immerse yourself in His Word. Like, you'll get to know this God of the Word, and it can redirect your eternity. I can't wait to jump in the study of Exodus with you. Let's dive in the deep end, but know that we're in this salt water where we have somebody that's going to be lifting you up, and He will enable you to do things that you can't do. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, thank You that You love us and You want us to know You. That is a measure of love. Lord, I pray that we will take advantage of the opportunities that You're giving us right now. And thank You that You know and love every woman in this room. You love those who don't know You yet. You love those who know You but think they don't have time for You. Lord, I thank You that every one of us is sitting or standing in this room by no accident. Lord, I pray that You would reveal to us why You have us here, Lord, and You will do amazing things in our lives. And when we're sitting here this time in March, Lord, that we'll be different people than who we are today. Lord, I thank You for our amazing leaders and just the small groups that You have put together. And I pray that great things will happen tonight. We pray all that in the powerful name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You're going to be dismissed to your groups now. But if you are here tonight and if you just came or you haven't been placed in a small group yet, just come down here and we'll tell you what to do next. Also, a room change that you may or may not know about. If you're in Patricia Simmons' group, you're now in room 3, which is somewhere like right out here. If you're in Sarah Cooper and Sean McClure's group, you're now in room 209. If you have no idea whose group you're in and where your room is, go out to that table and somebody's going to help you.